Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin, along with a very special guest in Studio A. Tracy Helsvass is joining me, the host of Right on Four Corners. Hello.
Hello. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you for being here because we're talking with an even more special guest.
Yes.
Who is the author in the One Book, One Community program here at San Juan College, and he'll be speaking, next week.
Yes.
Here at San Juan College. And so we want to welcome to KSJE via Zoom today, Reina Grande, who is joining us from New York City. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. So good to hang out with you. And I'm so looking forward to next week as well.
We are too, and a lot of folks here at San Juan College are, and so we want to talk a little bit about your latest book, which is the selection for One Book, One Community here at San Juan College. And Tracy, I know you know just a thing or two about that program
because
you founded that program here at San Juan College.
I did. In 2010 was our first One Book, One Community, and during that time, now Reina will be coming back a second time. You were with us, Reina, for your book, The Distance Between Us. It was kind of your memoir of your childhood. But A Dream Called Home is now a memoir of, like, your college days.
Yeah. When I wrote The Distance Between Us, a lot of people kept asking me, well, what happened after? What happened after? And I found myself, like, every time I did presentations, I would share with them stories of, like, you know, my time in college and beyond, and my struggles of trying to become a professional writer. So I had been telling the stories orally to people who read The Distance Between Us. And then one day I decided, oh, maybe, you know, it's time for me to jump into the next memoir and continue to share my journey with my readers. So then I wrote A Dream Called Home, and that's the fastest book I've ever written.
Really?
I wrote it in a year, whereas The Distance Between Us took me 4 years to write. But a lot of the mistakes I made in writing The Distance Between Us, like, you know, in terms of craft and trying to figure out how to write memoir, I avoided all of that with A Dream Called Home, and it just came so easily to me, that book, and I'm so proud of it, and I'm really happy to be able to give a voice to students, especially, you know, first generation college students.
Right. I think that's one of the parts of our audience that relates so much to that. When you were here before, you touched a lot of people's lives with The Distance Between Us, but because we have such a diverse community. But now in A Dream Called Home, you address those issues that brand new college students, the first college student in a family, has to go through.
Yeah, and to me, like, that's what inspired me as I was writing the book, because I know, especially when it comes to the Latino college experience, we don't have enough books that talk about that, you know, and Latinos do go to college.
Yes.
And I really felt like, you know, we need to honor and celebrate the hard work that our Latino youth are doing, and I wanted to write a book that captures that experience, you know, of the challenges of being a college student, of being, you know, low income, of, like, the financial struggles. Sometimes, you know, unfortunately, we don't have enough family support, or even when our family supports us, sometimes they don't have that experience, right, of what it is to be in college. So they're not able to help us. And it can be very lonely, being a first gen college student. It's such a lonely experience because you're not able to really fully share that, you know, with your family. And it's scary too, because when you're trying to figure things out on your own and there's really no one to call and say, hey, can you help me? How do I do this? So I wanted to honor that and celebrate that and encourage our young students to keep pursuing their dreams, to keep doing what they're doing, because it pays off and it's worth it, and they're gonna make history, you know, when they themselves graduate and go on to become to find success, you know, in their own journeys. And also, we're not just doing it for us, but we're doing it for the next generation, because we're paving the way.
Right. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that you spoke a lot about your family in A Dream Called Home and how difficult it was. They didn't really understand what you were doing or going through. But then you did pass on that legacy of education to your kids and your relatives after that. So that was like, you did get that message across. It was interesting that it took so long for you to find that supportive group of Latinos in college.
Well, I think part of it is because I'm a major introvert and it was scary, you know, for me as a young person to like reach out and try to like find community and to go to these places where I didn't know anybody. And yeah, it was just so scary to me. And even to this day, like, I still struggle with that. Like, I was just at an event last week where there were a lot of people there. It was at a writer's conference and there were a lot of people there. And I was so shy, I just went to find a corner and I sat there and I just couldn't like gather enough like courage to go up to people and say, hello, I'm Reina, what's your name? You know, like, for introverts, that's just so scary.
Yes.
So that's what I struggle as a young student, like, you know, lacking that confidence to like just go up to people and talk to them. So I guess I kind of was hoping that the community would come to me. And then I realized, you know what, that's not going to happen. I have to go and find that community.
And you did. I hope that our students will realize that they're out there. People that relate to them are out there. They need to go look for them.
Mm-hmm. And Reina, I just wanted to ask you a couple things too about your book, because it's a memoir, as we've been talking about your life. And as Tracy and I were discussing before we came on the air today, that there hasn't been a lot of memoirs chosen as the one book, one community selection. And so this is somewhat unique, isn't it, Tracy?
It is. I mean, we chose The Distance Between Us, right. And now we're doing A Dream Called Home. And but it reads so easily like a book of fiction that it's easily approachable for all of us. So I think it's a great pick for those reasons.
Sure. But I imagine there's a lot of kind of being as open as you can to share these challenges and struggles from your life and your upbringing and your college years, as we've been talking about, with everybody. It's a book. It's a it's an award-winning book. I mean, was that difficult to have your life out there for everyone to kind of pick at and look at and read about and ask you about?
Yes and no. I mean, I think with The Distance Between Us, I was really scared when I was writing that book about writing my own story and putting myself out there and, you know, being like judged or criticized for the things that I had gone through or done. But what I discovered when the book came out was how many people related to it and, like, you know, people who had gone through those experiences were telling me how empowering it was to, like, see themselves in a book. And I realized that, you know, by finding the courage to tell my story, I had inspired other people to also have that courage to, like, to celebrate their experiences instead of being ashamed of them. So in my own way, you know, especially as an immigrant who grew up being told that I should be ashamed of being an immigrant, writing the memoirs have been an act of rebellion and saying, no, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to hide who I am. I'm not going to, like, you know, keep my story secret just because you're telling me that this isn't something I should be proud of. So I wrote these books as a way to celebrate the immigrant experience.
And I think the awards that you have won and the recognition that you have gotten certainly show that very well, I think, to everyone. So congratulations, and speak to our students. And Tracy, we were talking a little bit about that too, about, you know, even what's going on today. We certainly have immigration in the news and immigration policy debates, and I imagine your story is something that is somewhat still being felt today. Would you agree?
Definitely. And if anything, I think immigrants today have a much harder time than I did. You know, like, I know, like, I went through some very difficult moments, but, like, sometimes I think about, like, what's going on today, of how much more anti-immigrant the United States has become. And then, you know, militarizing the border and the humanitarian crisis that's going on at the border, and the way immigrants and refugees and asylum seekers are being treated in such a dehumanizing way. I did not experience that. You know, when I crossed the border as a child, there was no border wall at the time. You know, that started being built in the 1980s under the Clinton administration. So there was no border wall that I had to deal with. And also, when Border Patrol caught us, they did not separate us. They did not take me away from my father. You know, they would just put us in a van and drive us back to Tijuana together, where we tried again. So in today's America, I would have been either, you know, separated from my father and detained, you know, the way so many of our children were thrown into detention centers, into put in cages. That would have happened to me. And also, you know, I might have ended up deported and with very little opportunities if I had made it into this country with very little opportunities to legalize my status. Whereas when my family came in the 80s, that was like a year later when Ronald Reagan, you know, approved that amnesty of 1986, when 3 million people were able to legalize their status. And we haven't had that kind of immigration reform since then. So it's become even more difficult, more heartbreaking for today's immigrants.
I understand. And I hear what you're saying, and I can't believe we haven't moved any further in these first 30 years, almost.
Yeah, over 25 years
towards that. But in any event, your story, as we've been talking about, is just so inspiring, I think, for a lot of folks, and a lot of folks who are here at San Juan College, a lot of others who maybe are here in San Juan County who aspire to come to San Juan College. And so it's a great opportunity for folks to read your book and to learn more about it, and then to take part in some of the conversations that will be happening here in the next few weeks, which is what one book's all about.
Yes. As before, when you were here, you were able personally to meet with a lot of different groups. And we will have the Zoom presentation, but we're doing a lot of different activities to celebrate a National Latino Month. And we had the folkloric dancers.
That's right.
So I thought that was great when I read about your experience with the dancers, too.
And a lot of events coming up, including our Latina Center is doing some special events here on campus, mm-hmm. of course, in addition to your visit virtually, Reina Grande, next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. on October 5th. And again, it's a free event, so folks can join from wherever they are to hear you more in person and virtually to talk a little bit about your story. And so, but a lot of great events online. I know the college has a great website that kind of talks about all of them that they have planned and a place to go for other thing, including Indigenous Peoples Day on October 11th, of course. There is a special talk about Invisibility in Media on October 26th and a bilingual poetry reading on November 17th. And you've got plans for one of those poets, don't you?
Yes, I will be talking with Anna Castillo, who you mentioned in your book. Yes, I read her poetry.
That?
She was chosen as a poet laureate for Albuquerque. And so I thought that connection was very interesting.
Very cool. Reina Grande, how important is it to maybe highlight some other Hispanic poets and artists and others, authors like yourself, not just this month, but I would say probably the other 11 months of the year as well, but from time to time to really celebrate their contributions to the United States and world culture as well?
Yeah, no, I mean, I celebrate Hispanic heritage every day.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's definitely so important because, you know, Latinos are one of the groups that are severely underrepresented all across the board, right? Like in literature, in art, in like, you know, Hollywood and in all different sectors, even in education, mm-hmm. higher education. So I think for me, like it's so important to acknowledge the contributions that we make to this country, not just like on Taco Tuesday, you know,
right.
and really honor the stories and the experiences that we write about.
Indeed. Well, and just hearing you talk a little bit about your experience at the border and the experience now, more recently at the border, and just how very different that is. I mean, it's quite different, I think. If for anyone who thinks they know about the immigration situation and how it has evolved or devolved over the last 25 years, I mean, your books really give an insight into and some of the real personal stories that people like yourself went through to come to this country.
Yeah, and I think especially for me, as someone who came here as a child, you know, that has been something that I really try to do with my writing, is to share the experiences of, you know, our undocumented youth, our dreamers, our DACA recipients. Like, I want people to really understand the personal toll of immigration and the trauma that young people have to deal with at such a young age, you know, when coming here to this country and growing up in a country that is constantly rejecting them and making them feel that they don't belong here, and that lasting trauma of that, but how despite all the challenges, you know, they continue to work really hard and try to reach their full potential. And what we need to do as a country is to support them and give them that opportunity to legalize their status, because that's only going to benefit us as a country, you know, by supporting our young people. I mean, they are the future of this
right.
country, so we need to give them that support that they need.
Very true. I wanted to pick up on one other thing from the book that I had read about, and that was that after your college years and you were going off to find work and then had loans to pay back and jobs to find and the jobs weren't readily coming, that was more struggle, wasn't it, for you?
Yeah.
In those years?
It was very difficult, that transition from graduating from university to going into, you know, the adult world and trying to find a job, and then realizing that, you know, my college degree, like it wasn't giving me as many opportunities as I thought I was gonna have, because I didn't really learn how to like pitch myself out there, how to like do, you know, job searches, how to even write a resume. Like, I didn't even have like that skill that I needed. And it was hard, that transition. And of course, you know, especially not having a lot of family support was also difficult, where I had to spend like 6 months sleeping on my brother's couch in his living room because I didn't really have anywhere else to go. And my parents were not being supportive. And that's something that a young person needs, you know, especially when they graduate from college and they need help with that transition from college to the working place.
And you always wanted to be a writer. You always knew you were a writer, which in a lot of ways made it more difficult. Like you said, your degrees were not able to help you actually find a living, but you just kept writing. So not only are you an inspiration for young people in that way, but you're also an inspiration for writers to just keep believing you can do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, writing is such a difficult profession because there's no direct path to it, you know? There's no direct path. There's like, if you talk to like 10 writers, they will tell you 10 different ways of how they right. each did it.
Yeah. Yes.
And then, you know, one of the things that like I struggled with when I was a student was that in my creative writing classes, we just focus on learning all about the craft of writing,
right.
but we never talked about the business. And that's really right. where many of us fail. In that no matter how good we are in writing, you know, how much talent we have, if we're not savvy when it comes to the publishing business, it's going to be really hard to get our foot in the door.
It's like the other shoe, the business aspect of writing.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
true.
Yeah, right. Writing a book is just half the job.
Exactly.
Exactly. Very true. Raina Greda, we just have a couple of minutes remaining with you this noon hour, and I want to thank you for joining us. But I have to ask, what's next? Is there a third memoir in the works?
Oh, actually, I have two books coming out next
uh-huh.
year.
Oh, good.
I am so proud of these two books. I have a novel that's coming out in March, and it's my return to fiction after 13 years.
Oh. Good.
And the novel takes place during the Mexican-American War. So it deals with like the U.S. invasion of Mexico and the border dispute, you know, the dispute over the Rio Grande. And of course, you know, it ends sadly in that when Mexico lost half of its territory, including New Mexico.
Right.
And I wanted to write about this war because we have forgotten about this war in this country. And I thought, you know, the more we can remember our history, the more we can understand the complex relationship between the U.S. and Mexico. And also understand that Mexicans here are not and should not be viewed as foreigners, you know.
Very good.
So, yes. And the other book that's coming out in June is an anthology that I co-edited with Sonia Wiñanzaca, and this is a collection of poems and artwork and essays by and about undocumented Americans.
Oh.
And that one is called Somewhere We Are Human.
Oh, we'll look for those.
Very good.
Yes.
Well, you have not stopped being busy, it sounds
right.
like, to us.
Right.
So, very good. Well, Raina Greda, we again appreciate your time. We're excited that you'll be talking to our students and our staff and other community members here in Northwest New Mexico as part of the One Book, One Community selection next Tuesday,
yes.
6:30
yes.
on Zoom about your book, A Dream Called Home, your memoir. And we certainly appreciate you talking with us about it today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Raina.
Good
to see you.
Thank you so much. And Tracy Helsvass, I know you'll be featuring Raina on a future episode of Right on Four Corners.
Right on, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
And poets and others and authors
yes.
and whoever you get your hands on.
Whoever will talk to me.
Which is everybody. So there you go. Thank you for being with me, Tracy. I appreciate
it. Thank you,
it. Scott. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.